Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'm Brian Strausser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. In this week's episode, I want to talk about what makes a great crisis management team today. The quality of your crisis management team, not just the quality of your plan or your crisis management binder, really determines how you and your company will perform under pressure. And with the kind of increasing volatility and uncertainty that we see today, the ability to make fast, confident, critical decisions through chaos is a competitive advantage for you and your organization. I want to talk a little bit about the evolution of crisis teams. I'll talk about what makes up a good crisis team and a little bit about how to build a bench before I wrap up this episode. So I'll start with the evolution of what we see with crisis management teams over the last several years. The old model was more of an ad hoc approach where teams were built reactively during an incident and they came together to kind of manage that situation. But the modern model, the model we build today, are standing, trained, and practiced crisis management teams that are ready to lead at a moment's notice. They understand what the plan is. They understand their roles and responsibilities and how to execute upon that. And the focus today for these teams is about decision-making under pressure, about coordination across the organization, cutting across those silos, and visibility and a clear escalation path up to executive leadership. Crisis leadership here is not about having a perfect plan, but rather about perfecting the ability to lead through the unknown, to lead through the kind of uncertainty we see in today's world. Now, when I think about the core attributes or elements of an effective crisis management team, there are four things that come to mind for me. First is that we have clear roles and responsibilities, that every member of the team understands their authority, their boundaries, their expectations, and they know what to do. They have been trained and they have practiced to be able to do these things. The second is that they have good decision-making discipline, that they have a cadence of clear, documented approach to what they're going to do, even with incomplete information. They know that in a fast-burning incident, that we're going to get together, we're going to do an initial size-up, we're going to take immediate action, and we're going to get together every 2, 3, 4 hours in order to continue to manage through that situation. The third core attribute is that these teams have good cross-functional reach. Operations, legal, HR, corporate security, information security, communications, whatever the makeup is of your organization, they are all integrated from the start with this effective crisis management, cross-organizational crisis management team. And lastly, that they have good preparedness muscle memory. They have rehearsed regularly through realistic exercises, not just some kind of read-through of the plan, but they've actually practiced the things that they need to do. They have shown through simulations that they can do the kinds of duties that we expect of them. In a real crisis, we don't just want this team to rise to the level of their ambition. We want to make sure they don't fail to the level of their preparation. Practicing and having clearly documented information, a usable crisis management framework and plan helps us make sure that that's what happens. Let's talk a little bit about how to build the bench for crisis management, for your crisis management team. The first is to identify potential crisis leaders early. You don't want this just to be executives, but who are the operational decision makers, who are the right people that work well cutting across silos in the organization. Second, we would encourage you to invest in targeted training and crisis exercises, even unannounced or surprise exercises and elements where appropriate. Third, that we rotate roles during an exercise to deepen organizational bench strength. Sometimes we even do exercises with just the crisis backups so that the primaries sit out, maybe they observe, but the backups play because that might be reality for you, that the primaries are offsite at a meeting and not reachable, or that a primary is on vacation and the backup needs to participate. And again, here focusing on leadership attributes is what's important. Calm, clarity, emotional intelligence, decisiveness, collaboration, silo breakers across the organization. There are some common pitfalls we see that weaken crisis management teams. Appointing people just based on their title rather than about their skill or demeanor under pressure. Treating exercises as scripted theater rather than being true stress testing where you're practicing for real. Lack of clear succession planning or backups for critical roles on the team. And lastly, just allowing crisis management to stay siloed, failing to integrate key parts of the business into the team. A real crisis is going to expose cracks that you don't want the world to see, that you didn't train to see, but you can start to identify those through effective training, good planning, and clear exercises. Building a great crisis management team is one of the most strategic resilience investments that you and your organization can make. I would encourage you to train today for the decisions you're going to need to make in a crisis by having the right effective team in place, because in a crisis, you cannot improvise this process. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.